Hello and welcome along to the Property Academy podcast by Opus Partners. I'm your host, Tim McKnight.
And I'm Andrew Nicol.
And to our show, we're talking about I lost $10,000 from this one decision. Now, this is a real story from a property investor we've worked with recently, and it is amazing how sometimes little mistakes really can add up and cost us five figures as property investors. So this investor had purchased a property. It was a two-story new build, bit of a small section, and it took them 94 days to find a tenant that they could agree to.
3 months. We allow 4 weeks to find the first tenant when we're doing a return on investment spreadsheet. This is three times that, more than that.
Yeah, so long. And so you're probably all thinking, what the heck? How does that happen? So, Andrew, what were some of the things these investors did wrong?
So the first thing they did was they set the rent too high. So they wanted to achieve above where we thought the market rent would be. And they did this because they wanted to test the market. And nothing wrong with that. I understand that you want to get as much return on your investment as possible. But the problem is, if the market isn't there, if there's other people advertising a similar product or the same product for a lower price, then what's your tenant going to choose? They're going to choose the other one over yours.
Yeah, but that alone, you know, setting an above market rent, you know, trying to test the market, trying to get the highest rent, that alone isn't going to cause them to lose $10,000 in rent. So what else?
So the biggest thing was that they had a very firm stance on pets. They did not want any pets in the property. And I get it. Brand new property. They want to keep it looking nice and pristine. And pets maybe have a little bit of a risk of doing a bit of damage. And so as a result, they were very firm on this, even though there was a tenant lined up within the first week of this property being available. They were really good tenants.
What do you mean by good tenants?
They had great background checks. They had clean credits. They were employed. They could afford the property. They were also willing to pay that higher rent. So they were willing to pay the above market rent that these people wanted because they had family living nearby. I think actually their parents live in the same complex.
Okay. And they were willing to pay quite a lot of money, about $800 a week.
Yeah, but the downside is they had a dog.
Okay. So a couple of things here. First of all, these people tested the market, tried to put the rent a bit higher than what tenants were really willing to pay, and then were pretty tough with that hard no with that pet policy. But all of that, surely you'd be able to find a tenant without a pet within 3 months. This sounds a bit ridiculous.
Yeah, you're right. There were other applicants, but again, the landlord or the owner did have some concerns around, you know, things like cooking smells or smoking and potential for kids damage and all these other kind of things that, you know, mean that their new investment might get a little bit more damage than they would have liked. And so as a result, they keep saying no because they're waiting for the perfect tenant to come along. You know, we all want a nice couple that live there with no kids, no pets, who go out and eat out and never use the stove. That would be ideal. Those tenants don't exist very often.
Yeah, and I think the real issue here, my favourite saying is that the great can be the enemy of the good. So you're hanging out for the perfect tenants, the great tenants, and then you'd end up turning down a whole heap of good tenants. In this case, it probably got a bit out of hand with that 94 days with no rent coming in. And if you think about what would have happened if they just accepted the first tenant who was willing to pay $800 a week, well, they would have collected about 87 days of rent. Would have taken some time for the tenant to move in, but they would have collected about 87 days of rent just over 12 weeks. It was $9,943 of rent that was missed about a quarter of a year because the property sat empty for 94 days from February to the end of April.
It's hard enough making a top up at the moment as a property investor with a tenant in there, let alone with no tenant in there.
And what's really come up for me increasingly on this podcast is there's a lot of psychological biases that we all have as property investors, and those biases lead to really dumb decisions. Because if we were to have a magic time machine and go back 3 months, they probably should have just accepted the first tenant and they'd have an extra 10 grand in their bank account. But what's really interesting is this story's not even over yet.
Oh, here's the, I guess, funny part. The tenant that they ended up accepting signed up at $760 a week, which was market rent. But here's the catch. They've got a dog. Oh. After all of that, they ended up having to get someone with a dog and concede to that criteria that they put on the property managers right from the start.
Yeah, and so not only did they lose almost 10 grand in the first 3 months. If you think about the next 9 months of the year, right, where they're missing out on $40 a week because they could have had that tenant who was willing to pay more, but they've had to accept a lower amount of rent. That's another $1,500, $1,600 for the rest of the year. All up, it's $11,491 they've missed out on because of the decision not to take the first tenant. And this can sometimes apply not just when you're finding tenants. This can also happen when it comes to selling your property. I mean, recently we've talked about a story. I tried to buy a house. Everybody, I've probably told that story two or three times. The people who were selling that house had an offer for $1.75 million. And I think they ended up saying no to that because they wanted a higher offer. They ended up having to accept something that was about $130,000 less than that original offer. They should have taken the original offer. In that instance, the great was the enemy of the good. They turned down a good offer because they were looking for a great offer and it ended up biting them. And that can happen in a range of times in property investment. Now, I want to be really clear. We are not ripping these property investors out. We're not saying that they're dumb. We're not saying that they're bad people. But we're telling you this story because we as property investors sometimes need to have a little reality check with ourselves and not turn something down good just because we want something better.
I do sympathize with when you buy a brand new investment property and you're really excited that it's looking good, it's nice, it's all fresh and clean, you can be a little bit nervous about protecting that property. I actually had one of our team come in and see me just yesterday and she said, oh, we're a little bit upset because we've had some tenants do a little bit of damage to our property. Now, don't get me wrong, not anything significant. It's just, you know, they've been a bit rough with the property. That's because they've got a young kid there. The young kid's drawn on some of the walls. And as a result, they're feeling really upset because this is their first tenant. Now, the thing that I told her, because she's a new investor, is your bond covers most things. Like, it's pretty easy to fix up the majority of the house. But remember, of all the houses out there, you've got some really, really old houses, which are completely fine, which are very valuable. But it's just that yours is new now. It's like taking your iPhone out of the pack for the first time, isn't it?
Well, I don't think it's just about new builds, though. This is about any property that somebody's purchased. Maybe you guys have purchased a property, renovated it. You've put some new paint on the walls, new carpet down. And the first people that come in, maybe they got a kid, maybe they got a pet. You know, tenants just generally aren't going to cause a little bit of damage because when you live in a house, hey, things happen. I spill red wine on the carpet myself on occasion. That's why I now have wooden floors because it's easy to mop up. But like this happens, right? It's about all types of property investors. And, you know, what else do property owners really need to consider, Andrew?
So I think you need to think about the tenants that are going to be renting the property. Now, this property was in Beach Haven. Now, that area has got lots of dog walking parks. It's got lots of reserves. It's got lots of families. And they probably have pets. And so if you've got a property that is probably going to attract that type of people, maybe you need to consider those as applicants or potential tenants.
Yeah, and I think a lot of people in this story, Andrew, might say, well, maybe the property manager wasn't any good at finding tenants. And look, sometimes that's true, right? Property managers can make mistakes. Not every single property manager is an absolute legend. But what was interesting in this case is every single one of the other units in the development, which all settled at the same time and were all looking for tenants at the same time, every single one of those units got tenants quickly. And around that kind of less than 4 week mark, that's pretty standard. So it feels like this is more a problem with the decision that the property investor made rather than an issue with the properties or an issue with the property manager in that case. But it would be a fair question to ask whether the property managers were just useless.
And I do think with the pet bonds coming in 2025, this is really going to help people who are landlords who are willing to accept pets but are a little bit nervous about the potential damage. So it could be that this owner would have said, hey, you know what, if I can charge another $2,000, made up number, as well to protect me against any damage done by the pet, they might have accepted them straight off the bat.
So let's just talk about the main learnings to recap before we wrap up. Firstly, move to market rent a lot sooner, right? So if you try and advertise your property at an above market rent, then a couple of things happen. First of all, you might get tenants that aren't very good. You might only be able to find tenants who everybody else has said no to. Then out of desperation, they say, well, we just have to suck it up and go and sign a contract for an above market rent. The other thing is that the longer a property sits on TradeMe or on One Roof for rent, the staler it becomes. So you don't tend to get as many people going for it. And then the other thing is just consider pets on a case-by-case basis. And, this podcast isn't actually just about pets, right? It's about the things we put in our own minds as property investors and say, I will do this, I won't do that, I won't do that, I won't do that. And we box ourselves into a corner where we end up making the wrong decision, a suboptimal decision, a decision that costs us in the long run. And in this case, in the short run too, because this investor is missing out on about 11 and a half grand over the course of a year. Right, let's wrap it up there. But please don't forget to rate, review, and subscribe to the podcast. It really does help us get the message out to more people. And hey, I want you to come to my upcoming webinar. It's on Tuesday, 14th of May, 7 p.m. And we are going to build a $100,000 passive income plan in 52 minutes and show how you can too. Links down in the show notes, so tap or swipe over the cover art. Links in there. Or go to opuspartners.co.nz/webinar. Thanks for listening to the Property Academy podcast. I'm your host, Stephen Knight.
And I'm Andrew Nicholl.
We're going to be back again tomorrow with even more daily strategies, tactics, and insights to help you get the most out of the New Zealand property market. Until next time.